So if you're new, we're so thankful that you are here and you're joining us. And if you're old, yeah, a few of you admit it. We are having church here this morning. So we wanted to do something special. My wife and I love when we get to come together and tag team messages, and it's a lot of fun for us.
And dress alike.
I did not plan that.
I totally planned it.
That's a wife thing to do,
yes.
For sure. I've made her change multiple times.
Multiple times.
She's come out. I've been downstairs in the living room. She'll come out and I'll go, no. Because it will be like I have like a bright orange shirt on or something. And then she comes out with orange on. I'm like, no, we're not doing this. Like,
oh,
no.
We are. Happen.
Not the same color, at least.
We are.
All right. So a few things before we get started. Again, if you're new, so thankful you're here. Stick around, ask questions at the end of service. Head out there. Our greeting team's out there. Also, next steps is to your left, right, immediately when you exit the room. So stop, ask some questions. Get to know some of the people here at Trailhead. We think we're pretty friendly. So you should see us outside of COVID. We're super friendly.
We are a huggy church.
We are a huggy church.
And I love it.
Man,
I love it.
I can't wait to get hugs from Larry again. yes, that was Larry. If you didn't know, that was Larry. But man, I'm so thankful for our church and what, you know, just who you guys are. Your love for Jesus Christ, it's so awesome.
There's such joy
in this place. Yes, there is.
Just the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And God is strengthening us in His joy this morning.
Yes.
Such joy.
So next week is Valentine's Sunday. This should not be a deterrent to come to church.
All of you lovebirds. You come here as your date.
This is your date. I mean, this should be your place to come. So next Sunday, show up because we actually have some fun things in store. And then on top of that, we have a contest that we're doing. So we wanted to show you guys what we want you to do this week. We want you to send in your photos. Right now there's this cool popular thing to do on social media, that the then and now type of stuff.
I did not pick out this first photo.
So I picked out some photos of then and now of Anna and I.
This
I thought
was
this
not
would be
my
great.
Choice.
So let's show that beautiful bean footage. I had some hair. I had it in a ponytail. That was an Easter Sunday. Look at that.
He was playing Jesus for the Passion Play.
I played Jesus.
And so he had extensions in. And
hold on, Tom. Whoa.
Well, he did. I was the director of the Passion Play. Cademan, I had gained 87 pounds with Cademan. You know, it was a lot of Fazoli's. We don't have one here.
Hold on. What I love about this photo is that you and I are giving all these excuses of how we look.
I know.
So this is why we look this way.
I was going to say something good. I was so excited that I fit into that dress. Like it was one of those Sundays where I was like, yes, I did it, ladies. You know what I'm talking about.
And I couldn't grow a beard. I hadn't hit puberty yet. So they would put, because all of you are like, Jesus had a beard.
Yeah, and we put a fake beard on him.
We
for
put
every
a fake beard on me.
Then
that was me.
Yeah.
And I had long hair. I had like Matthew McConaughey long hair. Do you like how I teamed myself up with Matthew McConaughey?
I know.
In the same like level, just to let you guys know that.
I don't even know where to go with that.
And so then I had to go to a beautician and sit for 4 hours while they glued in these extensions in my hair. And I remember sitting at a restaurant and I had a pick at a restaurant. And I would sit there and scratch. A wonderful lady came over and goes, do you have extensions in your hair? And I said, I do. And she goes, honey, you need to pat your head. And she goes, just pat like this. Oh, my gosh.
Life-changing.
Oh, I was like this.
It was life-changing.
Oh, that was life-changing.
We had the best time, though, so our then and now. So you all need to get your then and now photos.
Send them in.
Make them good.
Yes.
Okay.
So put it, tag Trailhead Church. In your stuff, hashtag Trailhead Church, I guess would probably be the best bet. I think we didn't really plan this out on how we submit these photos, but do it on social media, Instagram or Facebook, and then just tag Trailhead Church and we'll look it up and find, and then that winner will get a sweet date night out.
Oh.
We're gonna hook you guys up next week, date night out. Okay?
Now you're gonna do it.
So from now until next Saturday, let's cut off time on Saturday and do it.
It'll be fun.
All right, now let's get into the message.
Oh, offering. Will you do offering first?
Oh, offering. I always forget to do offering. This is a time of worship, as always we say here at our church. It's a time to give and do it freely and not in a sense of compulsion or out of just that thought of I have to. No, this is a freedom of worship, and God loves it when we are cheerful in our giving. And so at the church, there's multiple ways to give. For you guys that are at home, we're so blessed that you guys are watching us from home right now. But you guys, you have multiple ways to give through your electronic devices. Also, there's different prompts below you on the screen. And for you guys that are here, we have offering buckets as your way out today. You can drop it in there. There's offering envelopes in front of you. And there's plenty of ways to give through text to give and all that as well.
And as you sow, so intent.
Text to give and all that as well.
With intention this morning. Intentionally before the Lord of what God's speaking to our hearts, we are believing God for his kingdom to grow. And in that, God, in turn, he is a God that operates in the law of seed time and harvest. So what you sow into, you will reap. As you sow this morning, hold on to that promise as you give to the Lord. I love in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." God is faithful. He was faithful then, he's faithful now. And he says in verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." And he says, "I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes." That's what takes place when you're a tither, when you give your 10% and your offerings unto the Lord, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And then at the end of this chapter, he even talks about, as tithers, he will give you discernment. That's beautiful. That if you're giving this morning, and as the church body, we are called to tithe and we are called to give. This is what God has commanded us to do, and it's beautiful, and we're thankful. And in that, he takes care of the righteous. He takes care of his children. So hold on to that promise this morning as we believe God over our offerings and our tithes. Amen?
Yeah. All right, let's pray, and we'll receive those. So, Lord, we thank you for this time to give. Lord, we thank you for seed time and harvest. Lord, we thank you that as an act of worship, God, that we just present these, Lord, without any type of thought, of regret or out of compulsion. But, Lord, we do it because we love you. And, Lord, we do it because we are cheerful in knowing that you are our provider. So, God, we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you that in this house, Lord, that we are praying for doors to be open. And, Lord, we thank you for doors that are being shut. God, we thank you for that discernment of walking through those doors that are necessary to fulfill your purpose on our lives. So God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that every need within this church is being met, from the small to the tall. Lord, we honor you in all that we do, and we worship you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to talk about harmony over the next few weeks, and harmony is something that I think a lot of people, we immediately put it in with the thought of music, but get outside of that thought of music. The definition of harmony is really, especially in Colossians chapter 3 that I'll be reading in just a second, it's actually a perfect unity of moral and spiritual perfection, and it's full growth, it's a completeness.
Yeah.
And with that, it's unity of spirit and purpose, that you know without a shadow of a doubt, and that's what Anna was just reading Malachi, that the discernment that I know I need to do this, that there's no if, ands, and buts about it. There's no questionable thought of where I should go, what I should do. No, I know my purpose. I know the completeness, the fullness of what God's calling us to do. And so then there's harmony in what you're doing, that when you are in a particular place, and some people abuse this statement it's God's purpose and his will. And in that, then it's just what it is. But I want you to be able to say that and know what that means, because you are in perfect unity and harmony with the Spirit.
Right.
That you realize, oh, I came encounter with this person today because of the Spirit. Not just by chance or that God just made it happen. No, God's putting you in these particular places because you are full of the Spirit and you are an example of him to others. That's the beauty part of it. So in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, it says in verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive one another, anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. All right, now, let me ask this question. Are you truly able to live in harmony? Because some people in this room, you're like, I doubt that's possible. It is possible, yes, because Christians are able to. Yeah. Because the Word of God says it. I just read it. If you've chosen to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you are in a kingdom that's not divided. And because you're in that kingdom that's not divided, then God gives you the equipment, the instruction on how to live in harmony. And it comes with being a renewed mind daily, where you're asking Christ to renew your mind. Those things that the enemy tries to put on you, you shake those things off because you are clothing yourselves in the things of God. Now, many times we forget that God established a kingdom. And that's where a lot of people get confused with verbiage, and you think, kingdom, what do you mean? Well, it's a kingdom. It's exactly what I'm saying, the phrase kingdom, that he is Lord, and it was divided. Man and woman fell short, they fell victim to sin, and they allowed the divided kingdom that Satan wanted to establish to be established here on this earth. And then, obviously, God had a plan to send his son to create an established kingdom, a new kingdom here that we can choose to be a part of. And in choosing to be a part of that, now it's that possibility of living in harmony because we have made him Lord over our lives. Now, I love Mark chapter 3, verse 24, just to establish this with some scripture. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And so you'll see that in that here, this earth was divided, and so then we had the fall out of all sorts of just sinful things, the sinful nature of man, and that's where the purpose of Jesus to come in and to restore this. I love what Billy Graham says. Billy Graham said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. And so we're going to break this scripture down in Colossians, the three steps. And the third step is love. We'll go ahead and just tell you right now it's love. Because he says, above all else, clothe yourself in love. So as Billy Graham points out, the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. We need to be in a kingdom that's established in love. And God is love. And that's where all of this comes from, all right? So, Three steps in harmony, to walk in harmony. And the first step, and we know this because we're just going straight out of the scripture, so you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
You know, one thing about this first step of clothing yourself in all of these things that God is listing, many of us are unable to put this on because there are still things that we need to take off.
Yeah, you've got to take some clothes off.
And that's what we're not looking at here. You see, Paul, in writing to the church of Colossae, he's actually in prison at the time. And this book is all about Jesus. And it's all about Jesus and the church. And he's coming against this type of humanism that was trying to take place in the church at the time. And I believe right now that so many of us are so focused on the natural and not on the supernatural power of God, that what takes place whenever you clothe yourself in righteousness, you're so focused on these outward things of what's going on around you, when in all reality, and I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That in order to put these things off that we're getting ready to read in Colossians, and to put these things on, you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to make a choice today to say, God, that you are Lord over my life. And in that, you know, what you're wearing is how you're responding to things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many of you guys tried to look cool when you were like, when you got out of, well, let's say high school or out of high school, like you would dress yourself. Let's talk about the natural. You would dress yourself with the people you hang out with. Like you know, there was a similarity. If you were a skater punk kid, you were dressing like a skater punk kid, and then you were acting the part out as well. I mean, I remember that moment where I bought my first Tony Hawk board, and I was like, I'm awesome. And then I realized I'm a poser, and I couldn't really skate. And then I was like, these guys aren't my crew, you know? So then I moved over to, like, the athletic kids, where I was like, I can wear Jordans. Like, I can look the part. I can dress the part. And then you realize, again, I'm not that great of a basketball player. You know, and then you realize, okay, I'm not good at this. But when you clothe yourself with the things of God, you actually are being equipped to be all that God's intended you to be.
And you're going to be set apart, which is good.
Yes.
Praise God, it's good. So in Colossians chapter 3, we see in the first part of this, how are we able to clothe ourselves with all of these things? In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, I want to read this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's pressing into the supernatural power of God, that whenever you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that he did a supernatural thing in your life, and he set you free from sin, from condemnation, from guilt, from shame, that you are no longer a sinner dead in sin, but you've been made alive with Christ, seated in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and every name that is named, not only on this earth, but on that which is to come. That is who you are.
Right.
But we're not waking up to that.
Right.
We've been singing about it, but it's time to wake up to it. So then he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. I want to talk about this scripture really quick of, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That word life is the Zoe kind of life. That's the God kind of life. The Zoe kind of life. That means when you died, whenever your flesh died to sin, then the God kind of life, the Zoe, the supernatural power of God, the resurrection power of God, came inside of you and set you free from sin.
Right.
Jesus, the greater one, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, lives inside of you. That's a different perspective.
Yeah, so you got to stop being a poser. That's what I'm talking about. This idea of still walking in sin or in this nature of the old kingdom, then it's kind of like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? You should know better than to walk in that.
And you're going to have to put some things off.
Yes.
Because you're no longer that person anymore. And you know, to dress yourself, there's a choice on what you put on each day.
Right.
Some of us think when we got saved that you're automatically just, you know, awesome. Well, you're saved and you're set free. You're a child of God. But now this word harmony, remember what we said it was? It's a perfecting, a maturing, a growing in him. Now the love of Jesus, he wants to grow inside of you. He wants to transform you. You're going to have to set your mind on the word of God, on things above.
Right. So put to death the sinful nature. I mean, that's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Put to death those sinful natures, earthly things that are lurking within you. Have nothing to do with the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy for greedy. A greedy person is an adulterer. Yeah. Worshipping the things of this world. These are sinful things. They make God angry because it's like, who are you? Why are you acting like this? This isn't who I've intended you to be. And so it's really important. So that's why in step one of walking in harmony, are you tenderhearted? Are you walking in mercy? Are you kind? Yeah. Or do you have humility and gentleness and patience? And some of us, you'll ask yourself, do you argue a lot? Because arguing type of individuals, that doesn't flow very well with any of these things. So some of these situations, you know, you could lose a person over arguing because you're not walking in mercy and you're not walking in that humility and gentleness. And so sometimes in these situations, it's more important to love people and to walk in that mercy than to try to win it. And it could be so petty of these arguments, especially in marriage. Yeah. We'll kind of, at times, we're not perfect. At times, we kind of look at each other and go, why are we arguing? And then you begin to laugh because you kind of get back to the root of, like, how did that argument start? And you're like, this is so ridiculous.
And then we press the reset button. I'll even say that out loud. I'll go, reset. let's just reset this whole thing.
And then I
right
tell
now.
Her, no, I'm not
you
ready.
Know? Right? You know? No. He's actually, he is always ready to reset. He's always ready. You know, we were having a moment a few weeks ago.
A proper fight.
Well, it started off really good where Josh was just being thankful and he said something really kind to me. And I was in a moment. And I decided to air a grievance against him after he was thankful to me. And in that, it started an argument that didn't need to happen. The Lord ministered to me. It was 2 days later. It really should have happened that day. Clearly, I had 2 days of God working on my heart.
In the belly of the whale.
But he said, I mean, really, though, we've all been there. We've been in the belly of the fish before, okay? I'm not the only one that's been in that belly.
She just Bible corrected me, by the way. Did you guys hear that? Because the Bible doesn't say anything about a whale.
Y'all know I was a children's pastor for over 10 years. Okay.
I know it's a great fish. Sorry.
I was taking those 2 days to put off some things. Okay? None of us are perfect in this. It's a perfecting in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it or perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means until Jesus comes back or you go to be in heaven, he's still working in you.
Yes.
You're not done yet. He's not stuck a fork in you and you're all ready to go. We all have some work to do, and that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's time to embrace it. So 2 days into that, I was sitting there, and the Lord said, you did not receive my mercy, and that's why you acted out of your flesh, we'll call it that, to your husband, because right now I was aggravated. We had a hard week of at-home school. I just had a hard week with some things, and I took all of those grievances out on Josh. And in that, he goes, I need you to receive my mercy right now. You see, his mercies are new every day. And in that, I said, Lord, I receive your mercy. And I repented. God, I am sorry. And I went to him. I repented to him. And I said, and I told him, I said, I had not received mercy, so I didn't show you mercy on some things that I was dealing with. You see, this is what it looks like to put off these things. That's the God kind of life that's living inside of you. That's the supernatural power of God, the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, and I'm so thankful. And this is what it looks like to live in harmony. It doesn't mean you're perfect.
Right. Yeah, and God reminds us all the time, we're on the same team. We're each other's biggest fans. And so going back to the great fish.
And the kingdom of God is on the same team. Oh.
Well, right.
Yes. I don't know. Maybe we needed to be reminded this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. We're on the same team. It's the kingdom of God team. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, I love how it says in the message, our firm decision is to work from this focus center, that kingdom-minded of Jesus Christ, that one man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. We're in the same boat. Stop rocking it. We're in this together. So step two. Step two in the verses here of Colossians chapter 3, it says, make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. To walk in forgiveness. Guys, it's easy for us to bottle up things. Yeah. I believe real quickly, if in an argument you bottle that up, you are creating offense. It's a chemical compound that you are stirring, and then you're drinking from that every day. Offense, you're seeing through the eyes of offense, and that's a scary place to find yourself in. So asking yourself is, what are some things that would hinder this step in your life? Maybe there's some unresolved issues that need to be fixed, that you need to be direct and honest. And I think that another big problem, as I just pointed to, is don't go with it untreated, especially pain. If you have pain in your life, don't go untreated. It festers, it grows, it will consume you, and it will consume others around you as well. And maybe you actually have an unhealthy view of yourself. Maybe this is something to have a better, healthier view of how God sees you. Because if you can't forgive yourself, then you can't forgive others. And you need to walk in that forgiveness. Some of you, maybe you have unrepented sin, and you need to walk in that of like, God, convict my heart. So I don't walk in this sin because it is treacherous. It's like a thin ice type of situation. But you've got to recognize and realize that only Jesus can heal you of these things.
Only Jesus.
And it's going to him and asking him, say, you know, Jesus, help me work through this. Yeah. Show me your ways and open up that moment where I have a moment to speak truth into that person's life that I'm walking in a fence with, that he or she, that we can come to an agreement of mercy and forgiveness, and that's going to help.
And you know, I love in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, for this scripture, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We have complaints against each other. It happens. That's life. But then it's allowing the Holy Spirit to convict your heart and say, man, Jesus forgave me, and he washed me white as snow, and he's not holding grudges against me. It is under the blood, washed. When he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, you know, and the Holy Spirit confirms that word inside of you. So in that type of forgiveness, you always need to go back to the cross. That's why Jesus is, he's the one who's going to do the healing in your life. And you say, well, I don't know how this is going to work. You don't have to know how. God knows how.
Yeah.
Sometimes we try to work this out ourselves, and then we try to do it all ourselves, and the Lord's just saying, hey, I need you to surrender. Yeah. Some of you, the Lord was calling y'all to come up front this morning and to surrender that unforgiveness, and man, you holding on tight.
Yeah, and we're a church that the altar's open. But a lot of people are like, well, I don't know about that. Yeah.
You flood this altar.
Yeah, you can come up and hang out
and
pray.
You surrender that before the Lord, unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to say some practical things of just life at where we're at right now. If you are venting on Facebook what you're going through, and that is going to turn to a root of bitterness in your heart if you allow it to and don't watch it. That venting needs to go to Jesus first.
Yes.
You do not vent first to your friends, to your spouse, to the social media outlet of your choice. You vent to Jesus.
Yes.
He wants the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right. So that leads me into Psalm 32, verses 1 through 4. It says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Now here's the next part in verse 3, which is beautiful. It says, when I kept silent. This is not good. This is when you, silent is you didn't go to God. So, but when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
It's
misery. Yeah. You're seeking mercy, but yet you're finding misery. It's like, I want mercy, but I'm going to go everywhere but to him.
Because you're not willing to give mercy.
Right.
If you're willing to receive it, you got to be willing to receive it in order to give it. You can't give anyone anything you have yet to receive.
Yeah. In verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer. Guys, wake up to this, that's for sure.
Oh, so. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 31. We wanted to mention these two men, because it goes right along with this.
Yeah, because God's always, he's always working. Like, that's the thing, like, for some reason, you kind of think that it's your silence that actually keeps God silent, like in those moments. Like wake up and talk to him. Go to him. He tells
us. He wants you to.
Yeah, he's saying, come to me. Right. All you who are what? Right?
Weary and heavy laden.
And you need rest. Yeah.
Acts chapter 9, we see Saul's conversion into Paul. And, you know, Saul he was on a mission to kill Christians, to murder Christians. And God transforms his life. This is a beautiful chapter. I encourage you to read it. But we're not going to so much talk about his life. We want to mention two men that God used that had to receive mercy in order to give mercy to Saul, who is now Paul. And the first one was Ananias. And Ananias was even like, hold up, God, you want me? You want him to come to me? Like, this man has been doing all of these things, but God, you want to use me to minister to him? And in Ananias, when he surrendered that fear to God, because there is fear behind it, and it's a spirit, when he surrendered that to the Lord, God used him. Paul got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Ananias was a part of what God was doing. And not only in that, what a vital part of what God's doing in our lives today. Just because he was willing to say yes and operate from a place of mercy and forgiveness. These men, this was real. This was personal to them. You have been killing my brothers and sisters in the Lord, my family. Can you imagine forgiving someone and then God saying, hey, and you're going to go pray with them and they're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit with you because I've told you to do this. And then here we see Ananias ministering, and then what takes place? Paul gets in. Well, there's still people that are like, okay, I don't know. Is this for real? Has he really been changed? How many of y'all been doing that to somebody else? Are they really changed, God? Are you judging them? I don't know. So then we see Barnabas, the son of encouragement, step in and say, hey, let me tell you something. I've heard about this. This is what God's doing in his life. You need to receive him. And what takes place in Acts chapter 9, verse 31? Do you want me to read it?
Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. Jesus is attractive. Yes. And when you begin to show people the correct way to live, that living harmony way, then people want to be a part of that, because it's like, man, why am I chasing all of these pipe dreams or these things that are just nonsense that gets me nowhere? And it's that moment where people go, man, I want to be a part of this because transformation is real, and I want that transformation upon my life.
And they feared the Lord more than they feared Paul. They had a fear of God. We need to be, we should have a sincere fear of God.
Yeah.
More so than man, of what we think they say or they are going to do. This, I'm not out here to please you. I'm out here to please God. In that, we see these two men saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And that means I'm going to have to step up and testify. I'm going to have to forgive. I'm going to have to receive someone who I know has a shady past, who's done wrong, who's not like me, who has done this or done that. This is how the church grew.
Yeah.
This is how they grew.
Yeah, I said this months ago, and I'm gonna actually add something to it, but it's like a peripheral vision, the ability to see, you know, the bigger picture of things. Yeah. But I, you know, it's always important that we go to the cross, that we always go to the cross and talk to Jesus about what's going on in our lives. But then at the same time, a mature Christian will be able to begin to see people from the cross. In the same way that Jesus sees people to say, hey, I want to see their change. I want to see that uniqueness upon their lives, the ability that's beyond the natural, but to say, man, I can see what God's doing and what God can do, and to walk in that mercy that he walked in, to walk in that same love and grace and that peripheral vision of both perspectives of I want to walk and see people from the cross.
Because that's how Jesus sees us.
Yeah.
Don't you want to be a part of a church that sees you like Jesus sees you?
Right.
And that's a church that I want to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure.
That's Trailhead Church.
So that's step three here. And this is where this one obviously trumps all of the other steps, because even Paul says it. But we just went in progression of the way the scriptures read. But that clothe yourselves with love. Above all else, clothe yourselves with love. But first, you need to know two things. God still loves you. God still loves you, and God wants to see you set free. He wants to free you from these things, those things of clothing yourself, of all of that stuff the world has thrown on you. He wants to set you free from that.
And the Amplified, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, says it this way: above all these things, put on love, wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one sees the best for others. Love believes the best. This is wrapping yourselves in the love of Christ. And the love that we're talking about here is agape love. And agape love is unconditional God love. This is the supernatural love. This isn't an earthly love that we see, you know, everywhere else. No, this is love shown to a person from no doing of their own. It's selfless love. It's pure, willful, sacrificial love that intentionally desires the highest good. Imagine you operating in agape love in your marriage on a regular basis of the fruit that would be produced out of your home. Unselfish love. Of I want to serve you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to love you like Jesus loves me. That's what we've been instructed to do. Agape love requires faithfulness, commitment. Expecting anything in return. The New Testament references agape love over 200 times. We know that God is love and he is the source of agape love. And that in this, this is a choice of what we put on each and every day yeah. of our lives.
Yeah. You know, your gifts were intended for service, and there is always someone to serve. And in that that mindset of knowing this way that God operates with those gifts that you have, you would then eventually, through even the first act of love and kindness, you'll be like, man, this is true love. The true love of self-sacrifice, of serving one another. And how can you, how could you possibly be in love if all you're doing is just receiving? Yeah. Love is an overflowing and outflowing of what God's intended since the very beginning.
That's exactly right.
He doesn't hold his love in. And so therefore, it's not intended for us to hold our love in. It's to be given. And so you have gifts. And we've talked about it actually this past January in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, of that instruments for noble purpose. There is a time and a now for you to operate in those gifts so that you are an instrument for noble purpose.
And you know, you have the agape kind of love when you have the God kind of life, the Zoe God kind of life. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you wake up to who you are in Christ Jesus. Pastor Josh has talked about this over the past several weeks in John 10:10. I want you to turn your Bibles there really quick because we need just a refresher. If you didn't highlight it. We're going to read it. I want you to think about it. I'm going to plug two words in it. We know this. Jesus, the good shepherd in this chapter. We're so thankful. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have Zoe. That's the Zoe God kind of life. That word life there is the word Zoe again in the Greek. And that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy comes, he's the accuser of the brethren, continually accusing you of who you're not. And you know, he's a dirty liar. There's no truth found in him. And in this agape love, in this harmony of God doing a perfect work in you, you recognize that Jesus, I have to receive your life. I have to receive the God kind of life, that I'm not walking in sin any longer. If you're still walking in sin, you have not received the God kind of life, because that God kind of life will convict you of sin. Teenagers right now, this is the number one thing that you should do in your life, is to say, today I'm receiving Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior, and I want that God kind of life. And when you receive it, that Zoe kind of life, then what he's going to do is he's going to set you on a course. You're going to come out of high school on a totally different path than the rest of your friends. If you've been in a place of addiction, in a place of drunkenness, in a place where you've been battling sin or substance abuse, you need to receive the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life that transforms you, that Jesus paid for on the cross. This is God's perfect love. Then in John chapter 1, and you know, this is an eternity mindset. Harmony is an eternal mindset. Man, this hit me so hard this week when we were studying and going through these scriptures together. When we are operating in God's perfect harmony and maturing and together, you say, God, I want to be an Ananias. I want to be someone that draws the person that nobody else wants into your kingdom. It's an eternity mindset, where you want to love people, you want to sacrifice, and it doesn't matter that anybody knows about it. God might even tell you not to put it on your Instagram. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. What do you think that word life means? The Zoe kind of life. And the life was what? The light of men. In him was life, the God kind of life. In Jesus was life. And in you, with Christ living in you, is the light. God's radiant light is shining inside each and every one of you that have chosen to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or the darkness can't overwhelm it, can't overcome it. The radiant light of Christ, when you get in and want to operate in harmony and allow the love of Jesus to grow inside of you, and you recognize that Zoe kind of life, then you recognize that darkness, guess what? In Jesus Christ, He is the light and the life of men. The life and the light of men. God's radiant light is shining in me. There's no darkness that can overcome you.
There's a preparation that needs to take place, though. This position where you say, man, I need to be prepared for things. I need to, yeah. And that's why Paul is telling all of the churches, when he's writing to Ephesus and Corinth and all these churches, he's preparing them. He's not sitting there judging them in a manner of you are an adolescent or you're, and sure, there's moments where he's saying, hey, you're doing some things wrong, but it's not a matter of like, and This is I'm going to cut you off, or that God's cutting you off. It's no, it's the course correction of preparation. Let's prepare ourselves for the things of God. My wife and I, we love to hike quite a bit. And so she came across this really funny article. And the article is basically talking about the preparation of things and how we get so focused on, if you're going out in the woods, you're scared that a bear is going to get you. Like, that's what you think. I'm going to get eaten by a bear. And I remember that we went to Canada a few years back, and we were all there. A few of us were there. And I remember talking with Tom, and we were like, hey, we're not allowed to take guns with us, but we can take big knives, as if that's going to do something to a bear.
We were so concerned about the grizzly bears, which is an avid concern, right? I'm sure you think, oh, I'm hiking in grizzly bear country. When we get there, we've got to buy our bear spray. We have canisters hooked on the side of our backpacks.
But we're all talking to one another. Like,
we're talking about this bear.
Like,
we're talking
gonna
about the grizzlies.
Ourselves. We're going to prepare ourselves. We're going to get knives.
Like, we're ready to confront a bear.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, we're talking about it all the time. I read a bear safety that I sent to everyone on our team. You know, like, we are avidly prepared to come against a grizzly bear. I've got my mom interceding at home. And so I come across this article this past week, and it says, fear factor, you're probably worried about bears. The odds are with you. Bears of all types attack just 0.006 out of every 100,000 visitors. You should be worried about, so you're probably worried about bears, but you should be worried about forgetting something. Bears are scary, but actually campers are their own worst enemies. Ensuring you remember everything on your packing list is the most direct route for a good time. You can't easily filter water without a water filter. So I began to think about this, and I thought of our Canada trip. We're so consumed with a grizzly bear. We get there and we're on this beautiful, it's supposed to be this 4 or 5 day hike through Tonquin Valley, and a blizzard hits overnight while we're in our tents. We are not prepared with the right type of clothing.
No, so we've got a photo we wanted to show you guys. This is what happened.
We wake up to that.
We're dying inside.
There's no grizzly bear in that photo.
No grizzly. No grizzly anywhere. But we are freezing to death.
I had just did a praise dance, and to get my toes to begin to circulate so that I didn't have frostbite.
I couldn't get my fuel canister to light because it was so cold. Go to the next photo. This is us hiking. You see, there's Jeremy. That's Jeremy McKnight, our creative pastor. You see his eyeballs. There he is. And so
we did not get to finish our trip. We did not get to finish our
the
hike.
Destination. We couldn't get to our destination because of the snow, because we were ill prepared.
And it wasn't because of a grizzly. It was because we were not prepared for the snow. So often we are focused on every attack of Satan, and the enemy's trying to come in and say, well, the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. You have authority over Satan. Why are you so concerned with what he's doing when you should be putting on the armor of God every day? When you should be clothing yourself in righteousness and holiness? When you should be putting on the things of God? Then you'll be prepared for the 0.006 attack of the enemy or whatever it is.
Right. And so Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 sums it up, and that's this: let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the preparation moment. That's why we say it's so important to come to church. It's so important to be a part of a church, to be incongruent with the fact of being in the same boat of let's sing together, whether you're at home, whether you're here, that we're doing this together,
in this together,
to pray for one another, to be there for one another, to read the word together. It's so important. That's the preparation, to not sit here and say, there's a bear, get a knife, or hey, there's fear, you know, we better get our evacuation bags ready. We got new things happening. Better get a bunch of gas canisters and fill up our gas.
Well, and God's given us a weapon. God has given you this weapon. This is the sword of the Spirit. He gave you one weapon right here.
Yeah.
And you're able to speak out God's word, to daily live with him. I love in the Amplified that verse 16 says, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and your mind, permeating every aspect of your being.
Yeah.
Let God's word dwell within you.
Yeah, I want us all to stand to our feet as we begin to worship here. I want us to take a few minutes, because if you don't have Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, you haven't made him your Lord and personal Savior, then this is that call for you right now to change. To say, I don't want to be in this sinful nature any longer. I'm going to ask my altar care workers to come down front here. And if that's you, if you don't know who Jesus is in your life and you want to make that decision this morning, this is a turnaround. This is a change. This
that's
is the
right.
true preparation that we've been preaching about, to walk in a life-given harmony that's so
Amen.
Pleasing and wonderful to walk in. God changes the atmosphere around you. He goes before you and begins to teach you those things. Yeah, there's still trouble in this world, but he says, take heart, I've overcome
Amen.
This world.
Amen.
So right now, I want to worship just for 5 more minutes. And during this time, I want you to come down and come in agreement of that, giving yourself over to Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. So let's do
and
that
And if you
right
need
now.
To commit your life to God or recommit, if this is a recommitment to the Lord, take a step of faith. God loves you. God is for you. He's not against you. And that God kind of life is supernatural. It's going to transform your life.
Thank you. to do it.